Well, wow, hush falls over the crowd. It's awfully quiet. You guys all right? Everyone doing good? Having a good day so far? Sun is shining. It can't be a bad day. Actually, even if the sun was shining, we're together. Jesus is in the house, so we can just have a good time, right? Awesome. Pastor Joe is in Florida somewhere. I think he's over there somewhere. He's hanging out with Robin and, Neuenschwander. I just got to say that name, Warden and Chelsea Neuenschwander. That's a great name to say. It's fun to say. I just like saying it, Neuenschwander. And so they're over there for a week, and they're having a good time. Pray for them just to be blessed and refreshed and strengthened. And last week we told you about Sam Weaver. He had triple bypass surgery on, was that Friday, the 28th? Yeah. And Patty was telling me this morning that he basically, you know, had surgery and popped up, and you know, they got him all, once he, you know, was conscious again, he's like, hey, all right, let's go, I'm out. They said he was like the ideal, a dream patient. Yes, he is like, he's like no major drugs. He's on Advil, Tylenol. I mean, yeah, they want him to do it again just because, you know, maybe it was all faked. I don't know. It's like they want to double bill him or something. It's like triple bypass surgery, and he's up a few days later on Tylenol. Wow. Yeah. Which is awesome. And we will not accredit that to Sam's constitution. We will credit that to the grace of Jesus Christ, because you guys have been praying. So it is awesome. We're excited to see that. So, but anyways, yes, he is doing well. So continue to pray for him and all that's going on in his life with his family. Because Sam, as you guys know, he's an active guy. And his job, what he does, they run the berry patch out there. And that's a very physical work. And they should be going like any time now. So we just need to pray for grace over him, that the help will come around him that he needs. So he doesn't feel like he needs to be Superman out there going crazy, which apparently he can. So he's like, yeah, so that's pretty awesome. Anyways, another thing that we're really excited about is tomorrow. Tomorrow, we are going to start dismantling the sanctuary. Actually, after church, we're going to stack chairs. But that's a whole nother project. Tomorrow, we're going to rip all this nasty carpet out, which has been here for 20 years and has more coffee, like I said the other day, than Starbucks. And we're going to get rid of it. And it's going bye-bye. So, yes, we're excited about that. So, some of you guys asked me about a few weeks ago. We've been talking about the carpet, saying it's coming, and Pastor Joe made a statement. He said that we're borrowing from ourselves, and you're like, what does that mean? Well, this is what that means. So what we do is we like to save up, and we have a reserve for this kind of thing, because the building is an ongoing project, right? So we did the roof a few years ago and that kind of stuff, but we like to save up, and so we don't. What it does is we borrow from ourselves, so we have the money in the bank account, we take it out, we buy the carpet, and then we come to you guys, and then we rebuild that fund. So that's what we mean by borrowing from ourselves, because then we don't have to come to you guys and say, we need money for carpet, please give. Okay, so we don't want to do that. Pastor Joe, you know, we don't spend a ton of time talking about money, but we do like to take care of our building, and it does cost. So we will, in a few weeks, I think the 28th of April, we would like to take an offering just to kind of replenish what we're taking out of our building fund and or the home base fund, or whatever you want to call it, you know, to continue projects. We've got, you know, down the road, there's like this furnace under here. You know, you ever had the stereotypical furnace, you know, like in a movie in a horror movie where it's like growling and making all kinds of weird noises? That's that one underneath the stage. Yeah. It's right underneath where Jake sits, the drummer. So we really hope it doesn't blow up, because that would be bad. Although I'm thinking the drum cage might contain most of it back there. So just kidding. Anyways, but we just want to rebuild that fund. So we will be taking an offering for that. And I think the final cost for the carpet and everything is going to be about $15,000. So, but it's just it's an opportunity for us to continue to take care of the building and do things that need to be done. And we realize, like we're going to talk today, actually this whole construction thing is really cool because it ties in really well with what I'm talking about today. And, but we do need to continue to take care of the building and tune things up, and we understand that this building is not the church. It's we are the church, and that's what I want to talk about today, that we are the church, not this building. And actually, on a side note, too, it's really quite a coincidence, but I don't know if many of you know that the parking lot across the street, the old Craft Warehouse parking lot, now the YVC parking lot, so they're redoing that. I don't know if you saw that, but that's also the pastoral parking. So on Sundays, we park across the street over there, so they're redoing that for us. I really appreciate that. That was nice. Thankful for them to be doing that. So, and this whole remodel thing is just happening all at the same time, so... Actually, what we were hoping is that they would make a mistake on the address and rip this parking lot up. Oh, sorry, wrong one. Oh, well. That didn't happen, though. So, did you see that big excavator out there? Have you guys ever driven one of those? Has anyone ever driven one of those? We had a guy who goes to church here, or used to, Greg Lee. He moved to Montana. But he took me over to NC Machinery one time, and they have this big pit where you can take the rentals, and you can drive them back there. Oh, that is fun. It's just like, you just feel like, oh yeah, you feel powerful, you know, and you realize it is, you're not doing anything, you know, and Greg's shaking his head going, he's going to break it. But anyways, sorry, side note, I just see that excavator over there and I want to go drive it. But they are fixing up our parking lot, so hey, the pastoral parking lot, so we're excited about that. Anyways, so how does all this construction and everything tie to us being part of the church? Well, over the last few weeks, Pastor Joe, we've been kind of camping in Ephesians 2, 19 through 22, and we've been talking about the church. We've been talking about kind of generally who we are as Valley Life Church and what it means to be part of the church and this church specifically. And last week, Pastor Joe talked about the fact that we are citizens, we are family, and that we're being built. We are God's temple, right? And the concept of that temple, too, is that God says you as an individual are the temple of the Holy Spirit. We are the dwelling place of God. But then also collectively, we are the dwelling place of God. And that's where I'd like to go today, especially focusing on verse 22. But I'd like to read these scriptures again just to kind of get us refreshed and thinking down that lines about the body of Christ and who we are. Ephesians 2, 19 through 22 says, consequently, you are no longer foreigners and aliens, but fellow citizens with God's people and members of God's household, built on the foundation of the apostles and prophets, with Christ Jesus himself as a chief cornerstone. In him, the whole building is joined together and rises to become a holy temple in the Lord. I really like that imagery, you know, just that idea of just rising up, you know, it's kind of up. It's like a kind of a really positive, forward-moving thing. It's like God is building this temple. It's rising up, and it's built because of Jesus. Become a holy temple in the Lord. And this is the verse we'd like to look at today specifically. And in him, you too are being built together to become a dwelling in which God lives by his Spirit. So we are being built together into a house, a building, a dwelling place for God. So it's a work in progress, and that's, you know, just like this physical building, we're constantly changing, constantly tweaking. That's what God's doing with us. He's building us together, and he's building us for a purpose, and that's for him to be a dwelling place, for him to dwell among us. And once again, it's kind of that weird dynamic where, in on one sense, that, you know, we are a dwelling place of God as an individual, but then also there's a different dynamic and a place where God dwells as we are together. And that's what the scripture is trying to say. It's the foundation of our church. And as you know, if you've been here for very long, we talk a lot about relationships. We talk a lot about being together. We talk a lot about being the body of Christ and what it means. And we try to give practical ways of connecting. But our church, at the core of who we are, is about being a group of people who come together to invite God's presence, that he would be welcome here, and then invite other people to come into that and join and connect with the Lord with us as we move together. And then go out throughout the week into our community and take that presence of the Lord with us. And then we're out in our community connecting and being that dwelling place out there, right? There was a, I don't even know where I read it a few years ago, but they were doing an interview with the pastor, and one guy asked them, so where is your church? Kind of wanted to know where it was. And he started listing all these different businesses all over the place. Because the guy, the inferred question was, where's the building? And the pastor's like, that's not my church. My church is, you know, so we got someone, they're down at Starbucks right now, or they're down at, you know, one of the schools, or Davis, or Ike, or, you know, wherever, or they're at Memorial Hospital, or they're all there. That's where my church is. That's where my people are. And that's a great concept of what the church is. It's kind of a, you know, it's not a building. It's not contained right here. We don't become the church when we all come here together. Although, you know, we'll talk about it later. There is a dynamic, though, about us being together, and there is an importance to us being together. One of the other things I thought was great about the scripture, a few weeks ago I talked about the concept of, you know, being with God and stuff, and the Trinity. And in this scripture, we see it again. We see the Trinity in here. In verse 22, it says, "And in him," him being Jesus, "you are being built together to become a dwelling place in which God," so you got God, the whole concept, "by his Spirit." So God lives by his Spirit. Once again, there's the whole concept of Trinity. And who we are in our relational connection is based on him. It's based on God, his relationship amongst themselves within the Trinity. And so there we are relational people because God is a relational God. And he didn't create us because he was lonely or anything like that. He just wanted to share his presence, his love, his grace with us. And so we have, as a people, we are relational because God is relational. He's calling us that. That's what you were designed for. You were designed to be with people. You know, there's a joke sometimes we say, you know, life would be so much easier if it wasn't for people. Yes, it would. But, you know, you'd also go nuts if you were the only person. You know, you'd probably, you know, what's crazy about us, though, is because we're so messed up that even if it was just us on a desert island, we'd probably still form a committee that would be divided, you know. I'm serious. Another pastoral joke, but so there's this guy gets stranded on the island, and after about 20 years, a ship comes along, and finally, you know, they discover him on the island, and they come up on shore, and they notice after talking with him a bit that there's two buildings, and they're like, one looked newer, you know, kind of up, you know, kept up, and one's kind of older and run down, and they ask him, "Well, what's that newer building?" He goes, "Oh, that's the church I go to," and then, "Well, what's the old rundown?" "That's the one I used to go to." So. Come on, that wasn't even a dad joke. That was pretty good. Well, maybe it was a dad joke. He's the only guy on the island. There's two churches, you know? Anyway, moving on. We're supposed to be relational, right? We are supposed to connect together, and we see that in the Trinity, and that's where we get that from. So it's not just some random thing. It is something that God's all about, love, and he expresses that within the Trinity, and yet there's still one God and this dynamic that we don't get, and we may never get that or completely understand it. But it's where we get the relational element from. So let's look at this. Let's look at the scripture. First three words, "and in him." Now, this is where it always starts. Everything I want to preach, everything I want to communicate to you is always in him, meaning everything about Christianity is in him, him being Jesus. This is in him. We do this thing together. This house, this dwelling place for God is being built together in Christ. So we as individuals come, we are in Christ, and then he builds us together in Christ, in Jesus, into a dwelling place. So he is the one who's ultimately doing the building. He's the one who's constructing. He's the one with the blueprints. He's the one who puts us where he wants us to be. He's the one who guides and directs all of the stuff. It doesn't mean that we don't do any work. Obviously, we do stuff, but it's all by his power, by his direction. So in him, we are being built together. Jesus does the building. Then it goes to, "and in him, you too." So who's you? Now this is the interesting part. Or not interesting. This is something we really need to consider. So that you has, it's a specific group of people. That you is someone, and this can be anyone, but it's not necessarily everyone. But that you is someone who has a relationship with Jesus Christ. That you is someone, to say it in a Christianese term, is someone who is saved. It's not everybody. Some people don't like this statement, but not everybody is a child of God. Everybody's created in the image of God, yes. So in that sense, we are his children. But not everyone is adopted into the family of God. Not everyone is a family member. You become a family member when you have a relationship with Jesus Christ. He is the way, the truth, and the life. No one comes to the Father, no one comes to the Father God, except through him. So that you he's talking about, you too are people who are in Christ, people who have submitted their lives to the Lord. They believe that Jesus Christ died for them on the cross, and they follow him. They have given their lives to him. They acknowledge the fact that they can't do it on their own. So that's who that you is. Not everyone is part of the family. Can anyone be part of the family of God? Yes. Yes, they can. Does everyone want to be part of the family of God? Nope. I mean, we were designed and created to be part of that. We were designed and created to be with God and have a relationship with him. But there's plenty of people out there, you know, as you can tell, you know, there's a lot of churches in Yakima, but there's still a lot of people right now who aren't in church because they don't want to be, you know. And a lot of times it's not necessarily that they're hostile towards a church or inactive. They just don't care. They've got other things on their mind. God and the relationship with Jesus are just kind of way down here. And we need to understand that reality. Not everybody gets saved. Does everyone make heaven? Nope. Does God want everyone to be with him? Yes. Yes, he does. Does he do everything like we just sang, oh, the reckless love? Does he do everything he can? Yes. He does everything he can to make sure that people have an opportunity to choose him, to walk with him, to be with him. But not everybody makes it. We do not believe in universalism. Everybody does not get saved. But God does love everyone, and everyone can. You need to know that. That's important. One another thing about that you too, so now you've got the relationship with the Lord, but when he speaks to you, then when you have that relationship with the Lord, and even if you don't, you have a potential to be there, but that means that everybody has a place. In this church, specifically in Valley, everybody who comes has a place because God's the one who places you. God is the one who's building the house. And so everybody has a place. Everyone has something they can do. Everybody has, you know, it's not like there's a few spiritual elites, you know, because if you're looking at Joe and I to be the spiritual elites, that's funny. You know, Joe and I, when we hang out, sometimes we just kind of chuckle at our own stupidity sometimes. And I'm not saying we're, you know, I mean, we got some skills, but it's just funny. It's just like, sometimes it's like, you know, as pastors, you kind of sit and you kind of, we know ourselves, right? Joe and I have been hanging out for 20 some years now, a long time. And so, you know, we'll go places and stuff and we know each other. We kind of know each other's ins and outs and we work really well together. We enjoy being around each other. And sometimes we just, you know, it's like, man, why are people following us? This is weird, you know? Anyways, but having said that, there isn't just like spiritual elites who do stuff. It's that we do stuff. We all have a place. We have a place. And anyone can have a place in the church. And I say all of this too, and I know you guys understand this, that doesn't necessarily mean it's easy. You know, it's like with the salvation. Not everyone gets saved. Well, not everyone has a good time in church. Not every Sunday's like, oh, you know, and that, you know, you're not going to see a halo around me very often in our church, you know, or ever, or each other. You know, we have good days, we have bad days, but we still have a place. And thankfully, because Jesus is the one who's doing the building, this thing can actually work. It really can. Despite the fact that we're so different, it can really work. We all have a place. The next one. And in him, you too are being built. Are being built. So like our building, like what we're doing here, you know, we're constantly, it's a constant thing in progress, right? We go through spurts where we kind of tune things up and we want to do, but the building of the church, this dwelling place of God, is a work in progress. We are, well, right now, you know, physically, we are under construction, right? But spiritually, we are always under construction. This house, this dwelling place that God is making is under construction. And we need to remember that. That it's just, it's always a work in progress. It's always going to be, you know, it's always going to be something that God is doing. He is moving. He is growing. He is changing. He is maturing. He is adding to. This is a work in progress. And the other thing is, it's messy, right? Construction is messy. So tomorrow, I'm going to come over here for a second. So tomorrow we're going to rip up the carpet. And we ripped up some of this earlier, but this is an event. Just so you know. But like when we rip up the carpet, so we pull it up, and if you look underneath there, It's nasty. So we're going to be like ripping this carpet up tomorrow. See how easy it comes up? There's dust flying everywhere. It's messy. And so to next week, hopefully, when we have church, we're not going to have that mess. But we may. You never know. But it's a messy thing. And building a church is a messy thing. It's going to be dirty. We're going to have carpet up sometimes. The last time, years ago, when we replaced this carpet, we did 2 weeks, two Sundays in a cavern because we had no carpet on the floor. It was just a concrete floor. I'm talking echo chamber, you know? You thought you were in like a massive hall. They didn't have to add reverb to the singers' voices because it just came, you know, bouncing around. But we did it, you know? So on a physical level, we can live with a mess once in a while. But on a spiritual level, it's going to get messy. When God builds his house, you get this many people together who are different, it's going to get messy. Many of you guys have done remodels in your home. Just finished them up, or you know, you've done them over time, or built a whole house. It's a messy, complicated process sometimes. And that's what we need to remember. We're being built. We're under construction. So sometimes it does get messy. Sometimes it gets dirty. Now, the other cool thing about the fact that we are being built, that it's not a finished building, is the fact that there's always room for more. There's always room for someone to come. Always. And some of the things we actually do in the physical building is to help make room for more, to help facilitate. So like, for example, the stage. Another thing we're doing is we're going to knock like 4 or 5 feet off the stage. We're going to bump it up so it's all one level. And so like come next week when we're preaching, it'll be more like this. Oh, I don't want to die. But you know, so we'll be up like this high, and that's going to be a little weird. We're going to have to get used to that. But the reason we're doing that is not so that we're up above you guys any, but so that we have more room up here so we can shift all of this forward. And then we have two things, more room back there to hang out, and then we have more room to add people. We always want to make room. We don't want to be stagnant. We don't want to be content, because God is building a house. God is building a spiritual house. And we need to have the mindset that we always want more people. We always want, and I'm not talking about growth mentality. I want God to build this house. Who he adds is his, that's his deal, right? You know, we're not going to tell you to go out there and get some people, you know, come on in, bring them in by droves, which we kind of need to do in the sense that we do need to be going out there and connecting with people and sharing the love of Christ with them. I get that. But because we care, not because we want butts in the seats. God is building this house, and there is always room, and people have a place. And that's what's really cool. It's going to be messy, but we want to have room. We want to make room. It's a progress. Always room. All right, the next one. And in him, you two are being built together. Together. This is an us thing. I've said this a few times already. Us. Not like Christianity, I'm sorry, it's not an individual. You know, even saying that you have a personal Savior. Well, yes. I understand that only in the context that there's no one between you and God. You need to surrender your life to Jesus. You don't go through anyone else. You know, that's that totally personal on that level. I get that. But that's it. Everything else about the Christian life is about being together. It's about us doing this thing together. It's not just a social club. It's about us being together. So you get saved, but God has chosen we as a group of people. You know, we're one of the expressions of the church. You know, so there's the church. And once again, there's Valley. There's our church. But we are called to be a dwelling place for God and to be out there. We. It's we way more than it is me. It is us way more than it is I. That's what this is about. Christianity is not just a social club. It's not just a self-help thing. It's not just something that, you know, is some good principles that you can live by. It is about us learning to live together. Life in Christ means we have unity with others who are in Christ. And that unity takes place in Christ, which is the only way it can actually work, is that we are in Christ, we are part of the family, and then we can be together in Christ as a dwelling place. And then God gets glorified and honored in the midst of that. So one of the things about being together means that we actually have to be together. Together means consistently, regularly being together. You can't be built together if you're not together. This is another one that kind of can irk some. But, and I say this statement, let me just say this statement first. We need to be together regularly. You need to be at church more often than you're not at church. You need to be in a life group. You need to be connecting with people over coffee and fellowship and hanging out who are believers with some intention of growing and being together. And I know you might say, well, that's fine for you because you're a pastor and you're paid to be there, which is true. But there's a lot of Sundays that I haven't. And I say that statement because I haven't always been a pastor. And I can say that statement with grace because I live a half an hour away. I know what it's like to drive to church. I know what it's like to get six kids ready with my wife and get them to church. I know what it's like to work two jobs. I wasn't always full-time here. I was on the farm for years. I had to fight for days off for years. I know what it's like to be inconvenienced to get to church, to small group, to lead youth group. So when I say that statement that you need to be at church more than you're not, I'm also saying it with a lot of grace and understanding that it isn't easy. I get that. I totally understand that. But that's what we were designed to be. We were designed to be together. It's really hard to be we and us if we're not together. It really is. Sunday mornings, life groups, all of that. There are plenty of times where, you know, I don't want to go to life group. You know, or I don't want to come to Sunday morning. I don't want to get up here and preach sometimes. You know, I mean, I understand that. And I know it's difficult. And I'm not saying you have to be at church every time the doors open, because that's ridiculous also. You know, that's too much. I get that. But if this is more than a social club, us, are the dwelling place of God. He chooses that. So that's why when we get together, like right now, there's a special dynamic of him being in the midst of us and dwelling in the midst of us. And I'll mention a little more later too about the purpose of that. But even when we get together in life groups, it's to be together. And in the midst of that, God does something special. We are called to be together. And there's a lot more scriptures that, you know, speak to that, about the power of us being together. And having said all of that, I understand it's not easy. I understand that we're all different. I understand, you know, I've been in some pretty good fierce conversations, let's put it that way, you know, with people in this church. I've ticked people off and they've ticked me off. But the problem is if we are not committed to be together, then we never grow. It never changes. It just becomes, you know, you just move on somewhere else. That's not healthy for you, for the church, for anything. We need to figure it out. We are together. Building with a purpose. Let's read the last part of this. And in him, you too are being built together to become a dwelling in which God lives by his Spirit. So I've said this 8 million times already, I think. We are the dwelling place. There's a purpose to what God is building. It's not just a social club. It's not just to come on a Sunday morning and hang out and have some coffee and sing a few songs that make us feel warm and fuzzy and then move on. He is building in us, everyone in here, his dwelling. That's amazing to me. God, the creator of the universe, wants to dwell in us as we get together and as we're out there, wherever we're at. He wants to dwell in us. Once again, it's kind of like me, like, why are you guys following me? That's weird. I think, God, why are you using me? That's weird. You know, I'm not saying weird, but you know what I mean? It's like, I don't get it sometimes. I get overwhelmed sometimes that God wants to use me and that he wants to dwell amongst us. Not that you guys aren't awesome. I'm not saying that. It's just, it's amazing. He's chosen. That's what he wants to do. Us. This isn't a bowling club. This isn't, you know, this is the dwelling place of God. And we need to be together. We need to take care of each other. And in that midst, God gets glorified. So it's not just, once again, not just for us to be together and have a great time, and even not even just for us to take care of each other. It's for God to dwell in that and be honored and glorified. We come together as we're here and as we're out there, wherever we're at, and we can honor and praise God in all that we do because we have been together. Individually and corporately, we are the dwelling place of God. Individually and corporately. And he's chosen to do it. So how do we know? And this is the part that, you know, is kind of the proof in the pudding, I guess, you know. How do we know that God is in the house? How do we know that Jesus is here? How do we know that as a group of people we're hanging out and there's anything different than this in a bowling club? Or, you know, a shooting club or a underwater basket weaving club, like we mentioned the other day. You know, what's the difference? John 13:35 says, your love for one another, so we loving each other, will prove to the world that you are my disciples. They will know that God is in the house when we love each other well. And that's why we need to be together. That's why you need to challenge yourself. I need to challenge myself to enter into relationship and be with people, be with you, so that we can learn how to love each other. Because a lot of us, I would say me, can be really abrasive at times. And so I need you to help knock off the hard edges in me. We need each other. And when we do that well, people see that and they know that's really impossible to do. How are you guys doing that? How are you guys together? How are you so different? How did you vote on polar opposites in the last election and yet you guys can still be together? It's because we're in Christ. And we can't do that. We can't allow the glory of God. We can't allow his love to work through us if we are not together. We need to be together. And then once again, it honors him. It's not so that people go, wow, you guys got your stuff together. Because we don't. It's in Christ that we can do this. It's in Christ that we can be together. It's in Christ that all of this stuff happens. And it's important because God gets glorified and then people get added to the building that he is making. They get added to his house, his dwelling place. We are in this together. And you're going to have to choose some days to be there, to be with people. So what does it mean, you know, that God is in the house? Just a few things I was thinking about. That means we need to learn to care for each other. We need to learn to be together. We need to learn to challenge each other. We need to learn to forgive each other. We need to learn to laugh together. We need to learn to cry together. The Bible talks about all of those things, about us, you know, sharing one another's burdens and rejoicing when someone rejoices. We need to figure out how to do that together. And it doesn't mean that we're all like best friends. And it doesn't mean that, you know, it's always bells and whistles and, you know, unicorns and rainbows, which is kind of a weird analogy, you know, for things that are awesome. A unicorn, and I mean, rainbows are kind of cool, but a unicorn, I mean, has anyone ever seen a unicorn? I submit no. But we are a work in progress. We are under construction. So at Valley, kind of the last statement I wrote down, but sorry I went long. We want to be more than a social gathering. We want to be a family that glorifies God and draws people to Him. That's what we want to be. To be more than a social club means we have to be together. We have to learn to be together. We have to learn how to walk with each other, to live life together. That's what we're called to do. We have to be together. Amen? I almost feel like any questions? Just kidding, don't. Burn him! You guys are, it is a joy to be part of this church. I've been here in this building 27 years, been here a long time, you know, and Joe's been here 20 some, I don't know how long, quite a while. And it's been a joy to be part of it. Hasn't been always easy, you know. There's times where, yeah, I just wanted to kind of be done. But being together with a group of people over a long period of time, growing together, is amazingly rich. It's rewarding. And it's so not what my life was like before. You know, I was, you know, told you before, just moving all the time. But now, just with a group of people, and there's a lot of different people here. There's some of you guys have been here forever. Mike and Linda, you guys are here, you know. I mean, Christmas Eve would not happen without them greeting at the service, right? I mean, they've been doing it for years. It's like, it's just stuff like that. I love it. It's my kids have grown up and been part of this church and part of your guys' lives, and you guys have messed with them in great ways, and it's just awesome. It is awesome. Let's be the church. Let's be together and be gracious and loving towards one another. Amen? Amen.